Okay, today, Bez Hashem, we're going to finish the first parak of Maseches Challah. We are learning Mishnayos, Ches, and Tes. So, Mishnah Ches teaches us the following. Where is it? Here we go. Isas HaKlavim. Let's say you have a dough that is made for dogs, meaning an Isas HaKlavim was something that was made with a lot of bran and would typically be eaten by dogs, but the guy who's taking care of the dogs, the shepherd or whatever, will also eat it sometimes if it's not made with too much bran. If it's made with a lot of bran, then even the shepherd would not eat from it unless he was mamish starving. So the halacha is bizman shirom ochlim mena, if it's something that the shepherd would eat from, so then chayav es b'chala, it's going to be considered to be chayav in chala. You can make an Eruv with it. So what does it mean to make an Eruv with it? So the Bartanur writes, an Eruv Chatzeros, that if you have many Batim in a Chatzer, and you want to be able to carry from one house to the other in the Chatzer, you need to make an Eruv. So that's an Eruv Chatzeros. And that's what the Rash explains as well. And Rashi writes the same way in the second paragraph of Maseches Beitza. However, the Tosyantov points out over here that the Rambam understands Ma'arvinba means Eruv Tchumin, that if you want to go more than 2,000 Amos from your Tchum Shabbos, you're allowed to use this as your Eruv. Why does he say Eruv Tchumin? Says the Tos Yom Tov, because it's Dafka Eruv Tchumin, because anything you're allowed to use for Shitufei Mavuos, you're allowed to use for an Eruv Tchumin, but an Eruv Chatzeros has a higher standard. You can only make an Eruv Chatzeros with Pas, and maybe this doesn't count as Pas. So it turns out that it's Machlokas Rishonim. Not only does the Mishnah mean that you can make an Eruv Chatzeros with it, but whether you in fact can make an Eruv Chatzeros with it. But anyway, so the simple reading is like the Rov Rishonim say, that it means that you're allowed to make an Eruv Chatzeros with it. Umishtatvinba, and you could make a Shitufei Mavuos with it. You want to carry in your Mavoi from one Chatzer to the next Chatzer, so all of the different Chatzeros need to be joined together. Umivarchin Aleha, and you can recite a Bracha on such a birchsa motzi, on such bread, because it is edible bread. Umizamnin aleha, you could do a zimun. Three people that eat together can join together in a zimun over a meal of such bread. Vinasis bi yom tov, and such bread can be made on yom tov, that even though typically the halacha is that you're not allowed to bake things for animals on yom tov, since this bread will be eaten by the shepherds as well, so you're allowed to make it on yom tov. The Melech HaShlomo points out that the reason you're allowed to make on Yom Tov is because of the chelek haroim, the portion that that the shepherd is going to eat. So, and you could say about each drop of bread that maybe that's the drop that the roa, that the shepherd is going to eat. Or it could just be that this is an assumption that marba bishurim, riba bishurim is mutar on Yom Tov, that even though you only need a little bit, but you could fill the whole oven with dough, even though you only need one slice of bread on Yom Tov. So just like you're allowed to bake a much larger quantity of dough than you're going to need, you could bake a much larger quantity of dough, even though a human being is only going to eat a small portion of it, and an animal is going to eat the rest of it. You can make matzah from such dough on Pesach, but if it's the kind of bread that has so much bran that a shepherd would not eat from it, then all the opposite halachas. You don't make a shetufim of us with it, vein mavarchanala, there is no amotzi on it, vein mazamnala, you do not make a zimun on it, vein anas biyamtov, and you're not allowed to bake it on yamtov, vein adem yosem reidechavas on Pesach, and you cannot use it for matzah on Pesach, but ben kach, metami tumas ochlin. Either way, it's metami tumas ochlin, meaning it still has the dinam of tuma of food, because even when it's something that a roe would typically not eat from, because it has excess bran, but if he was starving, he would eat from it. So any time that if he was starving, he would eat from it, then it's metame tumas ochlin. That would be enough to be metame tumas ochlin. So moving on now to Mishnah Tes, the last Mishnah of the first parak. Hachalav ha-truma chayavan ala misa v'chomesh. Chala and truma have a number of things in common. That's what this Mishnah is about. Those things that chala and truma have in common. So one thing they have in common is that if you ate it b'mezid, and you're not a kohen, you're chayv misa, and if you ate it b'shogeg, you have to pay back with an extra chomesh, an extra 25% penalty. Va'asurim lazarim, and in addition to that, it's asur for a non-kohen to eat it. So the Bartanur points out, well, shkayach, you just told me that he's chayiv misa if he eats it b'mezid, so obviously it's asur for him to eat it. So the Bartanur says, b'chinam hi shenuya, d'kivin shchayiv mazarim alei misa v'chomesh, pshita da'asurim lazarim. If you're chayiv misa and chomesh, of course it's asur for zarim. Ol Rabbi Yochanan da'amar chatzi shir mi da'araisa, metziv l'memer d'tan asurim lazarim l'chatzi shir, shein ba'lo misa v'lo chomesh. of the Surah D'Oraisa Mi'ika. Says the Bar Tanura, but if you assume the Chatzi Shir is Asur Min HaTorah, so maybe that's why it has to tell me Asur L'Zarim. That it's Asur L'Zarim Min HaTorah when you have a Chatzi Shir, even though a Chatzi Shir is not something that would be that would be subject to Misa V'Chomesh. So it's Asur L'Zarim V'Him Nichse Kohen, and it's also the property of the Kohen, V'Olin Be'echon Me'ah, and the amount that you need to affect Bittul on such things is a 100-to-1 ratio, U'tu'unin Rechitzas Yadayim, and you need to do Netilas Yadayim before you eat from it, V'Harav Shemesh, and you need to, if you went to the mikveh that day, you're not allowed to eat from it until sunset that night, V'Einot the Minatara L'Tameh, you're not allowed to be Mafrish from that which is Tahar to cover that which is Tameh, and Elamin Amukav, you also can only be mafresh from the dough that's nearby, or from the truma that's from the tevel that's nearby. Umina dover agomur, there has to be a gemar malacha to both of them, to both challah and truma. And final comparison is ha'omer kol garni truma v'kali sasi challah lo amar klum ad sheyishayir miktsas. If a person says I'm making everything I have truma, or the entire dough is going to be challah, then it doesn't work. You have to be mishayir miktsas. You have to leave some out that is not going to be truma or challah, because both of them say rachis, and whenever we have the term rachis, it means shireha nikarim, that there has to be some of the leftovers is recognizable as something that is not challah and that is not truma. Now there's a little haggah in the Malach Shlomo in the bottom of the Mishnayos over here that b'makom shenema rachis tabin and rachis shireha nikarim nearly hayne b'davar sheyesh bo mishum kedusha sheyesh bo chiv hafrasha mishum hasod sheyesh bo lahavdil hakodesh min achol, that whenever we say rachis requires shireh in the karim, that's only with something that has kedusha, where there's this requirement to be mafrish, to be mavdil between kodesh and chol, because Hashem didn't want that the kochos of kodesh and chol should be mixed in with each other. So if you're mafrish more than a rachis, you therefore didn't accomplish anything, because there are still kodesh and chol that are mu'urav together. But when there's no kedusha, it wouldn't be a problem. Then it wouldn't be an issue of rachis that you need shireh and ikarim. That's why actually shireh b'miktsas the Achronim point out over here, there are a lot of other things that say rachis. Rachis hagez is also called rachis, right? That's what the Rishon Lezion points out on the side. Tema minalan debinan shireh nikarim imidichsev rachis, but rachis hagez namiksev rachis. By rachis hagez it also says rachis. So apparently it's only that which has kedusha to it that we have this requirement of shireh nikarim. So to quickly review what we learned today, Mishnah Ches was all about isas haklavim, a very laden dough that is only eaten by shepherds because they're feeding the animals with the shepherds eat it as well. So if the shepherds eat it as well, it's chayiv and chala. You can make an erev, you can make a shituf, you can say a bracha, you could say a zimun, and you can bake it on yom tov, and you could use it for matzah. But if it's something that a shepherd would never eat, then none of those halachos apply to it. But either way, it's still metame tumas ochlin, because in a desperate situation, a shepherd might eat it. And then Mishnah Tes, we learned that challah and truma have a number of things in common. Number one, there's a chiyuv of miso, or if you had it b'mezid chomesh, if you had it b'shogig. Number two, that it's aser for a non-kohen. Number three, it's the monetary possession of the kohen. Number four, it's a 100-to-1 ratio for bittul. Number five, you need to do netilas yadayim for it. Number six, it requires harav shemesh if you went to the mikveh that day. Number seven, you can only be mafresh from tara alatame. You cannot be mafresh min tara alatame. Number eight, you can only be mafresh min amukav. Number nine, you can only be mafresh from that which had a gemar malacha. And number ten, if you're trying to make everything truma or everything challah, the entirety of it challah, doesn't work because you need rachis sheshireha nikarim. So those are the 10 things that challah and truma have in common. And Bez Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up with the second parak of Maseches Challah.